Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory.
And I'm your host, Michael.
And we're here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is.
Are you here?
I'm not here. I'm very angry. I'm really, really angry right now. Premiere Pro just crashed my entire drive on an export in media encoder for absolutely no reason at all.
It's fine. It was only a 5 terabyte external hard drive.
Which is now
dead.
It's like just software, though. It just like corrupted it. Like, how can Premiere do that? It's not the first time it's like corrupted things for me before. It makes me so angry.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Kind of focus the rage into obsolete items.
Oh, this is going to be an angry podcast?
It's going to be an angry podcast. Okay. I'm going to be so angry about everything. Yeah?
Well, season 2 is out.
And I'm angry about it. No. Yeah, Weird World Adventures season 2 is out. You can watch it now on Prime Video. And you can hopefully watch it soon on Roku. We're still waiting for it to upload on Roku. But it is on Prime Video. You should definitely check it out. And we just saw that it looks like it might be coming to Apple TV.
It's exciting.
It's really exciting. Right now, they're making the listings for all of the English-speaking international markets for it for Apple TV, mm-hmm. which is great. Mm-hmm. It's sprinkled around in a few places, so make sure you keep your eye out. But obviously, its home is Amazon Prime Video, so make sure you check it out on Prime.
Yay!
We're really excited about that. So, yes, the show is out there.
And second edition of your book is done. Check that out.
Yes. Wanderlust, How to Make Money While Traveling is out, the second edition. So be sure to find that on Amazon. It's in Kindle Unlimited now. So if you are a big Kindle reader, you can read it for free.
And it's an audiobook now, too.
It's also an audiobook. Okay. It's in like the Audible subscription too. Okay. So it has a lot of fun ways to get it and listen to it. And yeah, make sure you guys check that out. Yeah, we just got off the crazy of 4 books in the last year and Weird World finishing up. But now it's done. It's done.
Minus the hard drive crash.
Minus the hard drive crash and all the fix that's going to take tomorrow. Other than that, it's done.
And that's great.
It's great. And we can move forward. So we did a podcast a while back on obsolete objects. And apparently that's a really popular topic.
It's fun.
And people have then come forward, your mom included.
My mom included.
Here's a bunch of things that are also obsolete. So we have a bunch of new fun obsolete items that people have brought to us after that last podcast. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
Who knew that's where the excitement was?
Oh, yeah.
Obsolete objects. Part two.
Part two.
Some of these I think are questionable, though.
Well, let's discuss.
Okay, yeah.
I don't have the list.
I have the list. Okay. First one is a Rolodex. I still have a Rolodex. Granted, I will say it's like mostly just in your phone now, but I feel like if you have a hard separation of work and life and you don't have a work phone,
mm-hmm.
you would still have a Rolodex.
I don't think I've ever had a Rolodex.
That's fair.
Like at any point for any reason.
Well, I have one now and it was kind of your suggestion because I get all those business cards for work from like...
Is that what you're calling your Rolodex?
Yeah, that's a Rolodex.
Is it?
Yeah. The thing that has like the alphabet and you stick the business card
in
it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you just had like a bucket that you were keeping all the cards in.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I guess, did Rolodex just have... No, but it had the person's name and number and info. It's the same kind
roll,
of thing.
Right?
Yeah, I would roll through.
Okay. Yours rolls?
Mine rolls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we just put the business cards in there.
Okay, I guess it's like kind of not obsolete then.
I guess if it was just like not the business card and the info, it's the same information though. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Questionable. Questionably obsolete. I never had one though.
You never had one?
Mm-mm.
The next one I also have questions about. The phone booth? There's still phone booths out there. Gimmicky phone booths.
But not for their function.
I think some of them function.
Okay, but I mean, they're obviously in the same way that we talked about typewriters last time, right? There's okay, still typewriters in existence, but it's not like anyone would like, oh, I better write my book on this typewriter.
Right. That's fair. Okay. Yeah. But like...
No one's going to a phone booth to make a phone call, right?
I mean, saw a phone booth in Buenos Aires. But I mean, I guess you're not really... Well, they
Everyone
might...
Everyone has cell phone. Who the hell's going into a phone booth?
Maybe it serves the purpose as like the emergency phones in Vegas in the desert on the side of the road when you're like, oh no, my phone died and I need an emergency phone.
Do they have those?
Yeah. Oh. When you drive like in the middle of nowhere desert between like LA and Vegas at least, every X amount of miles.
Yeah, how far apart are they?
Oh, I don't know. But there's an emergency phone.
What would be like the furthest you could be from one, you know? If you broke down the middle of two.
Emergency phone.
Phone booth. Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Let's see. How far apart are they? Emergency help points, such as blue light phones on campus or in parking garages, are often spaced within line of sight, typically in 100 yards. Yeah, but that's not the Vegas ones. I need the...
I remember those in college.
Now I need to see. Let's see. Emergency phones. I swear. I used to pass by them all the time.
They're obsolete.
I'm going to have to get back to you. There's no more emergencies. I know. Yeah. I'm going to have to get back to you. I don't know how far apart they are. It's questionable how far apart they are.
Be on the edges of their seats waiting for that update.
I know how far apart they are.
Okay. Phone booths just seem like they're for nostalgia.
Yeah, I'll give you nostalgia. Okay, like, they're like good decoration at Disney.
But I mean, a lot of this stuff would be, right?
Yeah. Okay. Good decoration at Epcot. True. International calling cards.
Well, yeah, everyone has a cell phone.
Right. Well, I will say, as someone that travels a lot.
Well, do you?
Phone plans are weird. Like, when I was with Verizon originally, which I am again now, like, it's kind of different. You could add on, like, I'm going to be traveling for 10 days. I'm going to add on international for 10 days. Mm-hmm. It's like $10 a day. I'm going to pay $100 extra and add on the trip onto my account. It used to be like that. And then I think it moved now into, like, with my plan, I get X amount of travel days a year that just, like, build up. Mm-hmm. And eventually you just have so many.
Yeah,
you know,
matter.
It just doesn't matter, right? Which is great. But when I had Sprint, I think before it was bought by AT&T, or might have been when it was bought by AT&T, I was in Germany, and I couldn't get anyone to give me any international service of any kind. I tried to add it beforehand, and they said, no, you have to go, and when you get there, we're going to send you a text, and you just say, yes, I want to add this on to my plan once you're in the region.
What?
It didn't work.
Of course not.
And I never had it working the entire time.
But there's so many, like, app-based things now, right? So if you had Wi-Fi, this is moot, right?
Well, if you have Wi-Fi, it's moot. Yeah. But if you're using your GPS to, like, get around, like, there were instances in which it was very unfortunate.
But you're not using an international calling card.
No.
That's
obsolete. No. That's obsolete.
Yeah.
I was just saying international travel has not gotten it down yet. But the calling card is gone.
Yes.
But it's still not intuitive.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
Yeah. It's still questionable.
I'll be honest. I'm still on my parents' plan.
You don't even know.
So I really don't know. So I'm assuming somebody gets the bill. It's just not me.
The bunny ears antennas.
On TVs?
Yeah. That's dead.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, those are like vacuum tube TVs, right?
Yeah.
Those haven't been around for a long time. Those were obsolete before I was born, right?
I had one. My dad had one. He kept onto that TV. I mean, to be fair, he just kept onto that TV way longer than
Had. Yeah, but but they were already old TVs, right?
Yes. Like, yeah, it was already an old TV.
I've seen
it was
them,
an
but
old
it's
TV.
Not like... It's not like you would go out and get a TV in the 80s and would have the bunny ears, right? Mm. That's like the 50s and 60s, right?
No, it was like the 80s.
Was it?
We had a TV growing up that a still had TV? One. It wasn't new, but it wasn't like that old. It was not that old.
All right.
And as a fun story, when my parents first separated, or my dad lived in this condo, and I was like 5, 6, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 when he lived there.
Okay.
And somewhere in that time frame, he would go out on a lot of dates, like on the weekend, and he would leave me and my sister. And my sister was a teenager and super angsty and like did not want anything to do with me. And the rule was,
I don't blame her.
She got to be downstairs with the TV that had cable.
Nice.
And I had to be upstairs with the TV that didn't have cable.
With the bunny ear TV?
With the bunny ear.
Nice.
Didn't have cable, right?
So what would you do with it?
Well, I watched Walker, Texas Ranger.
Nice.
That was what I did.
Nice.
So the only thing I could find that was on that I would like enjoy watching was Walker, Texas Ranger. So I'm like 6 years old.
I noticed you used the word enjoy.
As a six-year-old, it was fascinating. I watched that show all the time.
He died.
I know.
Recently.
That's why it came to mind.
It like ruins all the Chuck Norris jokes. Like he's supposed to be invulnerable and now he's dead.
So sad. I really loved Chuck Norris when I was like 6.
Mm.
I'd watch Walker, Texas Ranger upstairs every night.
What a childhood.
I know. There was also...
So Chuck Norris was your babysitter?
Yeah, exactly.
While your dad's out dating.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
And there was like a weird vent on the bottom. It was like on the upstairs floor.
Okay.
That just looked down into the downstairs. Like, it wasn't a real vent, right? It was just like...
Just a hole.
A hole. But it was like a vent hole and a vent hole.
Okay.
And I could look down and see my sister downstairs.
Yeah.
And I used to, like, take pennies and try to, like, drop them on her head because I was really angry that she had me upstairs.
I don't know why she'd want to hang out with you.
She did way worse to me.
So did I. It's fine.
Well, this one must be good. Yeah, you did. This one must be good because I don't even know what it is.
Okay.
A AAA triptych book. It says AAA mapped out your specific route and tourist hotspots.
Oh, God, I don't remember that either.
AAA
I'm
guidebook?
Sure my parents used them. I remember
your
having
parents
guidebooks.
Still use maps.
Oh, my dad still uses maps. Definitely still has maps. He'll argue with the GPS. Not, you know, maybe if it's super local, you might know like a slightly quicker way.
Yeah.
You know, some
but the GPS can tell you what's faster.
But
always.
When you're just traveling,
yes.
It's always, I mean, of course it's right. It has every, like,
yeah.
of course it knows better than you.
It even has traffic patterns.
Right.
It knows.
And he was arguing with it coming home from West Virginia. I mean, my whole family went out there for a friend's wedding. And I had to work the next day. So, like, he was driving and I was like, I'm going to sleep because I get up early. And I wake up. And I, like, look at my phone, and it's, I don't know, like, 10 p.m. I was like, oh, we must be almost home. Like, we should have been just about home. And I look outside, and it's, like, Lewis County. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like anywhere near home. Like,
what are you talking about?
Where are we? And because he had argued with the GPS, he took us 5 or 6 hours out of the way. We, like...
Oh, no.
Instead of, like, cutting across West Virginia into, like, Western Virginia, we went, like, all the way south through West Virginia and then, like, all the way west. Instead of, like, a diagonal, we did, like, vertically down, horizontally over. We didn't get home for, like, 3 in the morning. I was so unhappy.
My God.
Because like, I think I had made a stink going there about him, like, arguing with the GPS. Like, it's better than you. Just stop arguing with it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know. And then, like,
right.
And then that happened. I was like, well,
I mean,
welp. And here we are, 5 hours out of the way in Lewis County, Virginia.
They do the same thing when we go up north and they, like, refuse to take 95. But I will say
95 sucks.
I have never, it is never taken in the last 3 years being here. I've driven up to New York maybe like 7 or 8 times, right? It has never taken me more than 6 hours. Usually it's like 5 and a half. Mm-hmm. I time it well, but it's really not a problem, right? If we went that way with your parents, it would take 10.
Oh, it routinely takes 10.
It routinely takes 10. Yeah. I don't know how they do it.
They're using their AAA triptych book, apparently.
Yeah.
It's obsolete.
Yeah.
Adds an extra 5 hours to your trip.
Exactly. Right. The next one's pretty gross.
handkerchiefs, yeah, those have always been gross, right?
I don't see any situation where those were ever not gross.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just a tissue that you're reusing. It's just a snot rag.
Yeah. And if they try to make it cute, like, I don't know, I always think of 101 Dalmatians. Do you remember anything about the beginning of it at all?
No.
When, like, Roger meets Anita.
I don't know those names.
Roger's the guy who owns Pongo. Anita's the girl who owns Perdita, the dogs, right? And, like...
I kind of forgot there were people in it. I thought it was just about the
dogs. Oh, no, there's people in it. All right. And they're, like, he sees them, like, Pongo sees them, like, walking, like, Anita walking Perdita in the beginning. And they're going to the park, and he wants to meet her because he thinks she's a sexy Dalmatian.
Yeah.
So he, like...
He's not wrong.
Gets his guy, like, he gets Roger to, like, walk him to the park, right? Mm-hmm. And he, like, tries to get them to, like... You know, stay. And he, like, ties his leash around him and they all fall in the water.
Okay, yeah.
And then he, like, pulls out, like, she pulls out her handkerchief and it's all ruined. And he's like, you can have mine. And it's all, and I'm like, who? I mean, I remember watching this as a kid being like, who uses a handkerchief?
So would, if I had a handkerchief, mm-hmm. would you use it?
No.
Would you accept my snot rag?
If it was cleaned.
Well, no.
No, then no. Like, I think the idea is, like, it's supposed to be clean. Like, oh, you can have this clean, but you can use it. But
as soon as it's used, it's not clean.
I agree. It's weird. It's and weird. I feel like people used them long after they were no longer acceptable and we definitely had tissues.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you don't have tissues yet, it's better than...
Nothing.
Nothing?
But,
maybe?
But we definitely had tissues when people were using handkerchiefs. Yeah. And, like, now they're kind of, like, used for style. Sometimes.
They're just like a show, like a thing you would put in like
a show
jacket,
thing,
right?
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
It's not usable.
No, it's not usable. It became like a fashion thing, but like, yeah.
Check out my snot rag.
But like, it was in everything we watched as kids.
I
just remember being so confused by it.
We're going to the Explorers Club Gala.
Yes.
Next week.
Yes.
Get me a snot rag for it.
Okay.
For style.
I'll get you a stylish
snot rag.
Perfect.
I'm going to use it.
Right.
There.
Oh, I'll be handed to somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's gross.
I mean.
Obsolete and gross.
Fountain pens? I mean, we still have fountain pens, right?
Like the ones you have to dip?
Is that, that's I think even older than a fountain pen.
What's
right?
that called? A well? Like the, we have like a well of ink?
Yeah. A well of ink.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not. We're not Ebenezer Scrooge here.
I mean, fountain pens are all over. Like, look, you can buy a whole bunch of them everywhere. So they're cool. That's another thing that's cool.
Yeah, they're a style thing, right?
You don't need them anymore.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah, it has the oil. Or the ink well.
Uh huh. Yeah.
411. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that one.
But 411.
I guess.
You would dial 411 to get information on something. It was like a dictionary. Like I don't want to go open up the dictionary. I need someone to tell me what. It was like Google before Google.
Yeah.
And it's gone now, but the interesting thing is it's still part of like vernacular. It's like slang, right? You say what's the 411?
Yeah, I guess I didn't know that's where that was from. I've heard the slang.
Yeah. So what's the 411 came from? You dial 411.
Yeah.
To find out.
I wonder
out.
How many people know that. That say it.
I know that, but I don't know. I feel like I never called.
The next time I hear someone say it, I'm going to ask them if they know what it means.
I'm curious.
Curious, you should.
I don't think I was ever old enough to call 411, but I remember my parents calling 411.
Okay.
And then zero for the operator.
That I did know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But people, I guess, don't do that anymore. Well, back in the day, it connected you, like, without having to have someone's phone number, right? It was like, I need to talk to this person. And it was, like, a different situation. And then we all had phone numbers.
Yeah. Were there just that few phones? Like, how would that even work?
I mean, I guess so, right? The phone has evolved. We just had an article about that on Mallory's Adventures I just scheduled.
About the evolution of the phone?
Yeah. Oh. Starting with Alexander Graham Bell.
Ahoy hoy.
Evolution? Ahoy hoy.
Did you put that in there?
I didn't. I gotta go back and add the ahoy hoy.
That's what he wanted it to. That's how he thought we should answer the phone. And quite frankly, I agree.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy. What a missed opportunity.
Oh, good. Ahoy hoy.
Think how much better our world would be if that's how we answered the phone.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.
Yeah, I'm with Alexander on that one.
Ahoy is a way people say hi. Kat says that.
I have said ahoy hoy.
Okay, that's fair. But yeah, I did dial the operator before. Did it, like, you? It became when we were kids something where you would call and, like, ask to be connected to someone.
I will occasionally call the hospital operator, like, when I'm at work, to get to, like, a specific floor if I don't have the number to it. It's zero.
Yes.
So.
But.
I mean, it's in a local, it's like a local intranet type deal. You know, it's a hospital operator connecting
well, it would
to,
be a
like,
local
you know,
operator.
The fifth floor or whatever.
Yeah, like when we were in Brandermill, you could call the operator. And you would
so
call the operator,
someone, like,
and it would be a local
region?
Operator in the region that you'd say, can you connect me to my local hospital? Or can you, and they would.
All right.
And my, this ruined Santa Claus.
How many do you think there were sitting around, like, answering that?
A lot. Probably dozens of, I mean, not hundreds of people.
Just sitting in, like, a box somewhere?
Yeah, and they lost their jobs.
I've never met one of these people, though. Like, who
was it? They all lost their jobs when the operators were obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
The internet made them kind of obsolete.
Yeah.
Same thing with 411. The operator ruined Santa Claus for me because my...
Oh, wow.
My aunt lied to me and Brett. My cousin, and said, like, oh, Santa Claus called on the phone. You have to, like, she, like, told us Santa Claus called.
You
star
69
right?
that bitch. And,
well, then I asked her, well, how did you get Santa Claus to call? And she said, oh, I just called the operator, and they gave me Santa's number. Was what she said to me. So then I tried to call the operator to get Santa's number.
Yeah.
And I probably made some woman's day. You know, just, can I get Santa Claus's number? And she's like, oh, I don't have that number. I'm sorry. And I was like, my aunt lied to me. And then I just started spiraling.
Yeah. Oh, sweetie. Santa's not real. Have a nice day.
I like your mom explains. Phone number 0 was answered by an operator who provided you with phone numbers. Very articulate. Very good. Very good.
Thanks, Mom.
Oh, this is good. The popcorn cookers before microwaves were like a frying pan that you shook over the stovetop covered in foil. I remember that. You can still get
You
those.
Can still get... They're like one-time usables,
yes.
Right? Like you buy them as that and they like go over your...
Yeah.
Oven. But yeah.
Yeah.
I think my grandparents had one. I've definitely seen it somewhere.
Yeah. I've used one, I believe.
I've used the disposables.
Yeah. Jiffy Pop, a brand like above, cooked over the stove. So you had the Jiffy Pop. There's a popcorn cooker, and then there's the Jiffy Pop version.
But that's like the temporary. Like
yeah, the
Jiffy one
Pop.
The disposable.
Yeah,
right?
That's
definitely. Still around.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Jiffy Pop, but it's... They still have the, like, one-time use bags.
Yeah, yeah.
That are shaped like a pan that you put over an...
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of these items, like, Gen Z would know what they were, though. Like, they would know the Rolodex, the phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
They might not understand an international calling card. But I feel like everyone knows what the bunny ears are on the antennas because, like,
well,
it's a joke on...
Yeah.
They survive through media, right? But maybe not. I have to... To ask Taylor about some of these.
Yeah, ask your sister.
The AAA trip book, no.
Mm-hmm.
Handkerchiefs, yes.
Well, but that's because some of these they're still around. They're just not used as, like, their function.
The popcorn stuff. This one I disagree with. Ashtrays, people still use ashtrays. But I agree they used to be everywhere.
They were
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes.
And now it's like, I mean, where was the last place you saw one?
Well, you're not allowed to smoke out.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, nowhere, right? Like,
I know where I've seen them.
Where?
At Mona's.
Oh.
You see them at cigar lounges.
That's true.
But that's made for you to go
for
smoke
that,
at,
right.
So.
It's made for that reason.
I remember when they banned smoking in restaurants. It was when I was in college. I was working at Shoney's when they, like, finally... Well, there was a smoking section when I worked at Shoney's in high school and into college.
Yeah.
And I love this. First of all, nobody wanted the smoking section. And I was like, well, I'll take the whole smoking section. And they tip so much better. I would make way more money than everybody else.
Yeah.
Work in the smoking section.
And it's just cost you a few years off your life in cancer, right? Secondhand
wow.
smoke cancer.
Worth it. Wow. Definitely worth it.
Thanks, Shoney's.
But yeah, your mom said they had every day and special for company. For company
was,
ashtrays.
Wow.
The really nice ashtrays.
The nice ones, yeah.
Well, yeah, because everybody smoked in the 60s. People smoked in hospitals in the 60s.
Yeah, the good old days.
Everywhere.
The good old days. No wonder medicine went to shit.
It's also funny because, yeah, they're everywhere had a smoking section and a not smoking section. Everywhere.
Yeah,
and you would have to
I
say.
Remember.
I don't know if Taylor would know that, to be honest. Like, I think
Gen Z
wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Just like, I want the non-smoking section or the smoking section. And you had to, like, tell them which section you wanted to be seated in every time you went to a restaurant.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. That definitely doesn't happen anymore.
No, it's all...
Yeah.
There's no smoking at all.
No. And, yeah, they had ashtrays. I can still remember what those, like, public ashtrays looked like, too, right? Like, the black. And,
Like, cheap plastic with the little divots.
Yeah, the little divots. Yeah. Yep. I have no idea what this is. S and H green stamps that you redeemed for items.
Oh, geez, I don't know that. I don't know that either.
In the world.
Very obsolete.
Very obsolete.
S and H green stamps.
S and H green stamps were a popular 20th century loyalty program peaking in the 60s, where shoppers collected adhesive stamps from retailers. Primarily in supermarkets and gas stations.
I don't
to paste
that
in books and redeem for household goods. Never heard of that before, ever.
Yeah,
grocery stores and gas stations purchased stamps from Sperry and Hutchinson and gave them to customers based on the total purchase amount.
Weird.
One stamp per 10 cents or 10 stamps per dollar. And you could redeem them for stuff. Shoppers would lick and stick the stamps in a 24-page booklet. A full book typically held 1,200 stamps.
What would you get for 1,200 stamps?
Filled books were traded in for merchandise at S&H Redemption Centers or via the Idea Book Catalog.
I want to know what you could get.
It said it was like a pre-internet retailer offering with huge variety of things, often called a wish book.
Okay.
It included, here you go.
Yeah.
Household furniture and linens, large and small appliances like toasters and lamps,
okay.
Sports equipment, toys, and bicycles, and china and tableware.
Interesting.
The program's popularity faded by the 1980s as consumers favored credit card rewards and other loyalty programs.
Oh, wow. Credit cards killed it.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It moved to a digital model, S&H Green Points, in the late 1990s.
I don't remember that either.
While physical stores closed, the company still exists.
Really?
And it has occasionally revived its brand with incentives like the Route 66 Centennial Project.
Weird.
Old, unused physical stamps are still considered valid for redemption for digital green points by the company.
Wow.
Today, old stamp booklets and memorabilia are popular items sold on eBay.
Wow. I'm going to buy some on eBay and, like, redeem it for, like, a toaster.
I need a new toaster. I want this.
I wonder if there's any, like, I wonder, like, how much they are on eBay.
I know. Now, like, I have to see.
Is there, like, the opportunity for some arbitrage there? Like, you can get the stamp books cheaper than the item would cost and buy the stamp books. You know, like, I'm going to spend $20. I'm going to get $20 with these stamp books and then trade them in for a $30 toaster. Maybe just there hasn't been enough people around to equalize the market.
You gotta check it
out. There might be an opportunity for some arbitrage there.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna be an S&H green stamp millionaire.
Yeah. Oh man. Good stuff. Well. Speaking of, I don't remember if we talked about this last time, but I have to bring it up now that we talked about the stamps.
Okay.
I know we've personally talked about it, but I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast.
Okay.
The little coupon machines at the grocery store.
The, like, you'd pull out?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Gen Z would never know what those were. You'd pull them out, and then you'd wait, and then it would, like, bzz, they'd come back out, right? Like,
yeah.
Man, that was how I used to be entertained at the grocery store. My mom would take me there.
I feel like that was their primary function.
Definitely.
Not being used as coupons.
Definitely.
But there to entertain your little shitty kid who needs something to do while you grocery shop.
Definitely.
Right?
I would run down those aisles and snatch this one.
Yeah, I would get, I would just have dozens, yeah, dozens and dozens and dozens of them.
Yes.
Right.
That was like what made going to the grocery store with mom
tolerable.
Like, tolerable.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. And I guarantee you, like, Taylor's generation, Gen Z, would have no idea what that was. That is completely outdated and gone.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
There's, like, nothing like that anymore. Just like those S&H green stamps.
Those still exist, apparently.
But no one knows what they are.
That's why I'm saying. I think there's going to be a market for them there. An untapped market.
Oh, good stuff. Well, that was fun.
All right.
I'm only semi-angry now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go to bed.
The amount of time I wasted.
And you get to go ahead and fix your drive. It's fine. The season's available. Please watch it.
Yeah.
We would love your positive reviews.
Yes, please. If you like the podcast, everybody, please leave us a review here. Wherever you podcast, wherever you listen to the podcast, please leave us a review and let people know how you like the podcast.
And if you don't like it,
don't leave a review.
And feel free to email us your constructive criticism directly.
And if you do watch Weird World Adventures on Amazon Prime or down the line here on Apple TV or wherever you watch it, which, to be honest, now if you go into the smart TV, you can just type in Weird World Adventures and it tells you where you can watch it. So you can do that if you don't know how to find things. That's great. Do that. And please give us your positive, wonderful, happy reviews on Weird World Adventures Season 2.
And if you don't have a smart TV.
Yes.
You can collect some S&H green stamps. And I think if you get enough of them, you can go ahead and turn those in for a smart TV.
The next episode, we're going to follow up and let you know how many the smart TV cost.
I wonder how many it would be.
I know. You know now. And how far apart those Vegas fans are.
Okay, yeah. These are, yeah.
Really important questions.
Stuff, yeah.
Please also, if you have read any of our books, including Wanderlust, How to Make Money While Traveling, please go onto Amazon and also leave us reviews there. The reviews really help, especially with Weird World right now on IMDb. IMDb is the big one. If you have an Amazon account, that means you have an IMDb account. And if you can go on to IMDb and give us your stars and let people know what you think of the show, that would be amazing.
It helps it get picked up.
It helps it gets picked up in distribution. Yeah. So also, right now, it's listed in the U.S. at least for purchase on Prime. But if we want to get us over into the free zones on
the
other networks, which is the goal, so everyone can watch it for free, we can get those stars on IMDb. And that will help with distribution.
Yes.
Yay. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Was only semi-angry. I held it together.
You're looking more angry now, though. Now that you're thinking
about
it. I have
to go back.
I have to live with it. Oh, no.
Until next time, everybody.
Stay weird.
And angry.